Well, we've been in a series on the most improved Christian and dealing with some very practical matters on how to improve in the Christian life. The last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with the subject, watch your words, and I want to finish that subject tonight. And then we have missionary Chris Eccles next week, and hopefully we'll be able to jump into a fresh topic on the most improved Christian. We have learned about the wrong uses of the tongue and gone through a lot of them. Just a Bible study to remind us of all the ways that our tongue can be used in the wrong way, from lying lips to viciousness to profanity to a wrong conception or presumption about God, to slander and boasting and meddling in each other's business and gossiping and backbiting. And there's a list of ways that we can use our tongue wrong: murmuring, grumbling, talebearing, cursing. We've looked at a number of those different things with respect to persons. Tonight we want to look at the right uses of the tongue and principles whereby we, if we would give attention to it, could have some improvement, some growth, some progress in the everyday use of our tongue. Right use of our tongue means that the tongue has power to delight. It has power to destroy, no doubt about that. We know that. But it also has power to delight. It has power to direct people in the right ways. And so there are ways that our tongue can be used for right. And when it's used for right, my, does that make you feel good that you've used it for right when you had the opportunity to do so. One of the ways that it's used for right is found in Proverbs chapter 25. Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 25. Here the Bible speaks about a word. A word. Verse number 11 of Proverbs 25, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken, to me, involves a lot of things. It involves timing, right? To speak a word at the right time to the right person, boy, does that minister. And over the years in my Christian life, there have been many people that have done that to me and spoken a word. In my right-hand drawer, in my desk, in the back of the drawer, probably half the drawer is filled with cards from people here over 20 years. And I keep them all. Because you know why? Somebody at the right time sent me something that ministered to me. Timing's important. There's something else that's important with our words, and that's spirit. Our spirit in what we say is important. And so timing, spirit, and then the wording. Oftentimes I'll meet with somebody and, boy, they need to handle something in their family or in their marriage relationship or maybe even in the church. And we'll talk about three or four things. We'll talk about right timing. We'll talk about right spirit. We'll talk about right wording. We'll talk about right tone. Tone and timing are huge. And here the Bible says that we can use our tongue in a right way with a word that is fitly spoken. Now, we'll have some shoulder rubbing time on Saturday this week with the volleyball tournament. And you may rub shoulders with other believers this week in one way or another. You may make a phone call over a need that you heard this week. You may have a verse that God gives you in order to give it to somebody else. Sometimes God does that. But between now and Sunday, I wonder if you could find somebody that you're in contact with the Holy Spirit in order to speak a word that is fitly spoken. Because words that are fitly spoken minister in great ways. I was talking with Bobby the other day, talking with Brad the other day. Both of them had friends that either died or their relatives died, and both of them traveled to get to those funerals to be with those families. And people never forget that. And it's not like you have to have a commentary or say 1,000 words to them. But a word that's fitly spoken will last for a long time in a good sense. How many times do we say words that are unfitly spoken that last for a long time in a negative sense? That we could improve and say, hey, I'm going to speak a word that is fitly spoken. By the way, let me encourage you on this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I'll tell you, that boomerang comes back around too. That sowing of a fitly word comes back around in your life. And let me encourage you, as we think about right words, bunch of wrong things to stay away from. We covered those things. But you know, the Bible's not just about no, 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 no. But the Bible then shows us, here's something you can do. Here are words that you can give, that you can use to delight and to direct. And those are important uses of our tongue, a word fitly spoken. Number two, speech seasoned with grace. How can I use my words right, preacher? Speech that is seasoned with grace. Colossians chapter 4. Would you turn over there? Colossians chapter 4 tonight and verse number 6. Preacher, does it mean speech that's seasoned with grace is always soft and sweet and mild in talk? Not always. Christ spoke some pretty strong words, didn't he? And if he was the perfect one who spoke words of grace, and he spoke words like, O generation of vipers, and he said, O ye hypocrites, woe unto ye hypocrites, was he out of order there? Christ was never out of order. Grace here speaks of high character and speech. That your speech should not be corrupt or unholy or defiled or dishonest. It's to be seasoned, it's to be with grace, and it's then to be seasoned with salt. It means that our speech should not be flippant. It means that our speech should not be without point. It means that we ought to use good sense and wisdom when we speak. Folks, sometimes there are times where we need to speak strong on something. Okay? Doesn't mean that we all walk around, I'm going to walk on eggshells everywhere. At the same time, there's times to be gentle, right? To be gentle with situations and with people and so on. And here, the scripture is saying, grace seasoned with salt that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. I'm to have this balance of grace, but salt, contact, directness, and I'm to know how to balance that in every situation. When I'm out witnessing, sometimes it's direct. Sometimes the Spirit has prompted me after listening to somebody's testimony to say, sir or ma'am, we're on the same wavelength here as sinners. But the testimony that you're giving me is not a Bible testimony. All right? Sometimes we were out with Tyler. Tyler and I were out, and there was a lady in great need Saturday. And you know what? The best thing we could do is bow our heads and pray with this lady over her need. And so God is going to watch this. He's going to direct you. If you're sensitive to the Spirit, God's going to direct how ye ought to answer every man. With grace and at times salt. And those are profitable words. If he's saying these are the flavors that are to come out of our mouth towards others, this is what Spirit-led speech looks like, then those are impactful words. And we can impact people in a right way with that. Third is sound speech. Sound speech. Turn over to Titus 2 and let's look at verse number 8. Sound speech, as I was explaining to the ambassadors yesterday, a little bit about the word sound in Scripture. It means healthy. It means to bring health to a situation. That means that sometimes I may be dealing with somebody that is sick. And I'm not just talking about physically sick. They might be sin sick. They might be sick in their soul in one way or another. And the Bible here speaks in Titus chapter 2, sound speech, verse number 8, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Or in other words, not poisonous speech. Poisonous speech does damage to people. Right? Sometimes it's putting something in somebody's mind that's not good for them to have in their mind. We are to have sound speech. We're to breathe health. We're to breathe the right choice to somebody when they're thinking about not making the right choice. That's sound speech. Okay? Sound speech is, man, this brother's really low. Man, let's lift him up. Let's speak a word of encouragement. Man, he's hurting. He's sick. All right? Sound speech. You and I, God puts opportunities in front of us to share sound speech with each other. Sometimes in a marriage relationship, somebody gets a little tilted in their spirit. They get a little tilted in their thinking. And you know what? As mates, we have the opportunity to speak sound speech to each other. Healthy speech. Help us to come out of whatever we're dealing with in our lives. God gives us that opportunity to speak words that heal. Sound words. And then may I say there are words, not only sound speech and speech with grace and seasoned with salt and a word fitly spoken, but there's a fourth kind of words, and that is words of direction. Words of direction. Turn over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and look at verse number 21 with me. Proverbs 18 and verse number 21. Say, preacher, is it possible for me to improve my words? Absolutely. Absolutely. Key in on one of these this week. Key in on a word fitly spoken. Or think as you wake up tomorrow, Lord, you're going to put me with somebody. Give me the words to speak that are sound and healthy to them. Sometimes that includes truth and love. Right? That's not always easy. But sometimes that's the health that somebody needs. All right? Here we have words of direction. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I don't know if you meditate on that verse like I meditated on that verse. Those are two opposite directions. Death and life. And in my mind, again, it kind of ties in with these other points, but there are times where I speak comfort, and I need to speak comfort. Some of us are better at that than others. I confess tonight, I'm not always full of mercy, ready to speak comfort. But we have received comfort. Why? According to 2 Corinthians 1:4, that we may be able to comfort others. If you've received comfort in your life from God and from others, you know why God gave you that? For you to turn around and direct somebody else's life with comfort. So comfort is a big deal in giving people direction in life. Sometimes somebody's dealing with sin and they deal with guilt and they deal with guilt again and again and again. And maybe somebody's talked to you and said, Pastor, or your name, I just can't get over this. I keep going back. I don't feel like I've been forgiven. Man, comfort them with the Scriptures. Comfort them that God cleanses. Man, once that's confessed, it's cleansed by the Lord. Let that thing under the blood and share some words of comfort. Sometimes it's counsel that somebody comes to you for. And counsel directs, right? It helps us. It helps to shed light on our path. Make sure that our counsel is biblical. Make sure that we're taking people to Scripture. Make sure that we're counseling them in a right way. Sometimes it's counsel. Sometimes it's confrontation. How many of you love confrontation? You don't? I don't either. Confrontation is not fun, but sometimes that has to happen. Sometimes it happens at a workplace where you see something go down that wasn't right. And confrontation needs to take place. These are things that God uses, comfort and counsel and confrontation, to direct. If you have to confront, sometimes you have to confront your kids, sometimes you have to confront something in the family, whatnot. Let me remind you that the Bible speaks about a wise reprover. That means that we can confront, but we can be unwise in how we do it. And actually an unwise reprover can really, really hurt things and make things worse. But it doesn't mean we ought to shy away from it if there's something that we need to confront. And so these three things help us to understand that we really, our words are words of direction. Every day we have the opportunity to speak words of direction. Now, here's another way to speak words of direction, right? Could I share this with you? It's just a booklet on comfort and encouragement. Or could I share this with you? It answers the question that is there really only one way to heaven, and is that in the Bible? That's direction, isn't it? That's light. We have that opportunity many times in a new day to give somebody direction. Can we improve, church? Yeah, we can improve. There's practical ways here that God's given us to improve in our words. I'll give you these principles and then we'll close the night. Number one, the principle. These are principles now for improving your speech. The principle of acceptance. The principle of acceptance. Psalm 19:14. Boy, the psalmist prayed a powerful prayer. You want to improve in your words, this is a good place to start. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be unto who? Unto you, O Lord. You want to get on top of this area? You want to be further down the road pleasing God more of the time than you have been? Start with prayer. Start with the principle of acceptance. Lord, today, I have no idea what I'll face. I have no idea what conversations I'll be in. But Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. And remember, we speak what we think, don't we? So the psalmist said, Lord, both of them have to be right. What I think about in my heart is going to form my words. Let both be acceptable unto you. Principle of acceptance. Principle of thankfulness. Principle of thankfulness. In everything, give thanks. Boy, you want to beef up your words? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord, and then, Lord, help me to be thankful today. In all things, help me to be thankful. And then I'm going to give you the last one, the principle of concealment. The principle of concealment. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth a matter. And that will help us and help others so much if we will learn to deal with knowledge wisely. And all of us deal with knowledge. You deal with knowledge every day, so do I. And how we deal with that knowledge, what we share, what we don't share, all of that is important. Watch your words. Watch your words. There's right uses and there are principles for our words that can help us to take steps, grow, and be known for, watch this, a controlled tongue. If you're known for a controlled tongue, you're known to be a powerful person. If you tame this thing, you're a powerful person, according to James chapter 3.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh.